This is CIT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, and we have a special guest, Mike Hirsch, a steelworker activist. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good.
Yeah. Hey, now, we, of course, wondered what happened to the big parade. Every year, they go from somewhere on Queen Street to the gates of the CNE, and then they go in. But this year, they didn't go, right?
They didn't go. They we stopped at Lamport Stadium on King Street. Because of the strike. It's not a strike. It's a lockout of IATSE Local 58. And they've been locked out since at least, I think, 5 or 6 weeks now. And they led the parade.
They put them in front.
They put them in front.
Oh, I like that.
Which is nice, good. Actually. And then everybody, when they went into the stadium, had to go through them to get in, so we could all cheer for them and they could cheer for us. And it was a nice feeling.
So they were opening. That's not symbolic. Somebody gave it a little thought.
Yeah, they did. And actually, it was probably – it made the event more political, ending in Lamport Stadium rather – than the CNE, because of the CNE, I mean, I've been going to these for 50 years, since 1969, and the format's always been the same. Yeah. You go into the stadium, and then you disperse, and the buses take you to wherever the affiliate is having an event. There's no speeches. There's nothing.
Yeah.
And I heard – I wasn't there because the steelworkers went back to Cecil Street.
There you go.
And so,
Mike
but
is
I heard
a singer, by the way. We shouldn't have to tell him how close you get to a mic.
I know. Well, you know, okay.
But when you're talking to Mike about a mic, you get into this problem. Go ahead.
So I hear there were speeches this time at Lamport Stadium. I wasn't there because we went back to Cecil Street.
Went back to Cecil Street.
The steelworkers had a barbecue there. But it's, like I say, I've been going to these in the 50 years since I've been a steelworker. I've only missed three of these things.
Wow.
The format hasn't changed in all that time, actually. It's
changing now.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you. For me personally, I used to like Labor Day because we used to get, from my plant, John Inglis, we used to get 30 or 40 people just from my plant.
Yes.
And then we'd march up Queen Street. And in those days, most of the people who worked at Inglis lived in that neighborhood. So there would always be Inglis people and their families, and they'd be cheering the Inglis people on. And then you get to Dufferin Street, and Maisie Tiller on the fourth floor of her apartment would throw down water for all of us, all the steelworkers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was a nice event. We all felt pretty good about it.
That trailed off.
Well, I don't think there were more.
The plant is gone and the neighborhood
there were,
is gone.
There were only about a little over 100
Other
steelworkers.
Other than that, everything's fine.
There was only about 100 steelworkers, maybe a few more. But it wasn't as big. And even, I mean, it was a hot day.
Yeah.
And because we didn't go to the CNE, I assume that maybe that, you know, made it that people didn't want to march. Because people want to go into the CNE for free. That's why this is what it's become.
You know, the whole concept seems so crummy. In other words, we're going to do – it's the Prince's Gate. This is your little favor. Thank you for working all year. Go in and spend some money. Have a good time. We'll let you in free. It's just so crummy. I, on another program, I compared it to the – when you were unorganized workers, a lot of plants I was in. Thanksgiving, they gave you a turkey. And, you all stood there with your turkey. Everybody said, see? We love you. And you say, no.
It's – I was listening to Sid Ryan on your show. Was it last week?
Yeah.
And he was talking about politicizing it, Labor Day. Hmm. And I mean, that's a good idea. You could end – instead of ending it at the CNE and you want to show support for IATSE, you could either do it at Queen's Park or IATSE has been put on strike by the Board of Governors and of the CNE, and that's municipal politics. John Tory has the chair has made appointed as chair of the board this guy Mark Grimes, who's anti-union to the core, because the board consists of some progressives too. Mike Layton's on it, and others, and so he's been trying to get negotiations going. And this guy Grimes, who used to be the counselor in Ward 6 in Etobicoke, he was on the TTC board and And fought against Moscow because he was Howard Moscow at the time because he was trying to negotiate with
Moscow,
ATU. And he quit because he thought that Moscow was soft on the union. This guy's an anti-union guy. And he's the one that's leading the charge against IATSE. So you could actually end the demonstration in front of the Tory's office or Mark Grimes' office. Well, there's a lot of political things you could do with this.
Well, Sid underlined that we used to have legislation against replacement workers / scabs, anti-scab legislation, and we lost that. And so the demand is clearly now. This shows why that was a terrible loss, and they have to replace it here you have a showcase moment for Ontario, and what they're showcasing is union busting. And so, they should be getting back on. He also said on the show he thought we should have it on May Day. He said, like all the rest of the world, we're not in step with the organized labor of the rest of the world.
You know, I did a little research last night on this because I knew I was going to be sitting here.
Yeah, you're going to be on a hot seat.
And so actually there was an opportunity to make Labor Day in Canada in May. The original Labor Day was April 15th. And it was over militant action. It was over fighting for the 9-hour day, and it was for over 20 years. It was April 15th, and the original one was because 24 members of the typographical union had been imprisoned for having a demonstration, and so. The demonstration was in support of the imprisoned members of Typographical Union. Yeah. So, I mean, it was an easy move to have it from April 15th to May 1st if they wanted to do that. But the Americans changed it in 1894 to September. Mm-hmm. And I don't know the history of that or why it happened.
Well, that was a political struggle to get it away from the initiative of labor itself and turn it into a kind of a quasi-official thing so that they could control it. It would be the short
that would be
analysis of that.
Yeah.
At least they didn't go in this year, and I think we have to credit it.
Yeah.
It is a union. Phil was saying earlier, union movement has some problems. It needs to get to work on. Unifor was not part of your
Unifor parade. Marched down university to. To boats and took a cruise.
They're cruising. Yes,
but somehow the CBC put the name of the Unifor president in their article about the rally today with no other union.
He wasn't there. Unifor was not there.
Well, not according to the CBC.
I mean, so, I was there.
Yeah.
So the Unifor wasn't.
The plan to divide, destroy the union movement is moves on apace.
Absolutely,
because it's the. Character in one of these movies said it must have happened. I read it in the paper. Yeah. So the paper will tell you, is there a labor movement? Then they will say, yeah, this one. And then they will interview the guy and say, we reported on it. You say, yeah, but he wasn't elected, or this happens to be the one that now says it doesn't want to be in the Canadian Labor Congress. And so
Labor Day is an event of a subordinate body of the Canadian Labor Congress. Yeah. I mean, the Metro Labor Council is part of the Labor Congress setup. You know?
It is a crisis. Yeah. It needs to be addressed. Mike, I know you have some news for us. We're all trying to understand how things are going to unfold in Mexico. There's been a leader there. His name is Obrador. He's been elected.
Yeah.
There's a number of issues. A reason we need to ask you a couple questions about it. I know you have some things we want you to share. Obrador, by reputation, is a friend of Cuba. He's a friend of Maduro. He is he's his own style of politician, but he's not in the American camp on regime change, let's put it that way. Due to the way they conduct their constitutional procedures, he's been elected for quite a while already, but he doesn't take office until December. Now, they rush through, as Chrystia Freeland would tell you, since she has tire marks across her midsection, the agreement with Mexico. on the this whatever it was, non-free trade or free trade non. We don't really know whether Obrador – I know he had a representative, but you could see our problem. He's got the job, but, you know, he's got to be careful because the government's still in the hands of the other guy.
That's right.
And the other guy is the one who did the deal. Now, they say Obrador's people were present, but you'd have to wonder, are they full-throated or are they watching, or, you know? And but you have seen a sign, or you've heard about one, that we used to talk about on this show, a major Mexican labor leader. Been given something, a new role. Tell us about him.
Well, I took Kenny Newman as the national director of the steelworkers, and I took him from Lamport Stadium to Cecil Street. And I asked him about what was going on. He just came back last night from Mexico. Let me start with the fact that when Napoleon Gomez was selected,
note the name, folks.
Napoleon.
Yes. Napoleon.
There was a march of 5,000 mostly miners who marched with him to his inauguration. Now, that's impressive, and Ken Newman thought that was pretty impressive. And so that's a good sign of what kind of leader he was is.
Where has he been? He was in a lot of trouble.
He was in a lot of trouble because Grupo Mexico, all the billionaires that own the mining down there, hate his guts because he didn't negotiate collective bargaining the way traditional leaders, union leaders negotiate. Unfortunately, a lot of the traditional union leaders in Mexico, they make a deal that mostly highlights their self-interest. I got a quote from Obrador on that, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, please.
I have to find it here.
I'll play the piano in the background.
He said, "It's an injustice that the towns where companies extract gold are where we have more poverty and abandonment." And it was because there's more poverty in these miners, mainly because traditionally the leaders of the union was not fighting in their interests.
Yes.
Napoleon did not play that game. He wanted safety. He wanted benefits and wages.
What happened to him?
Well, what happened?
Did you meet him? He was here. Did you meet him?
Oh, no, he and I are friends. We're friends on Facebook, and I socialize with him.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Modesty. You knew Marilyn? We're on Facebook.
He and I are friends on Facebook, and I just wished him a happy birthday last week. He's 74 years old.
Did he? Wow. So okay. Now
he's
you met him here.
I socially he was at in Vancouver because he was based in Vancouver the last few years. When Obama won, I was in Kenny Newman's hospitality suite, and it was Ken Newman and Kathy, his wife, and it was Napoleon and his wife, and Felicia and I. And so that's who was at and. I mean,
and he's a wanted man.
He's a wanted
in Mexico.
Man. Well, you know,
he was. Now he's
his
really
story
wanted.
Is interesting because I asked Ken about it. The billionaires, Grupo Mexico, wanted him arrested, and the cops went to his house, and they were supportive of him. And they said, "Look, we were told to arrest you. We'll come up with charges later." That's what they told him. And so you got 6 hours to get out of here. I think it's all right for me to tell this story.
Well, anyway, that's part of the record, isn't it?
I think it is on the record.
No secret that he was a wanted man. I first heard of him because the Canadian Labor Congress and steelworkers had taken up his cause. And we knew he was here. He was... not shipped, as sometimes happens.
Yeah.
But he's a very important story, and it's amazing now. Just to sort of frees the point. He's named a senator. He got a role now. He's going to be.
He's now senator.
He's been named.
He's been named a senator
by Obrador.
By Obrador.
So Obrador is indicating that's what he's going to do. I assume all this will be.
It's to raise income for working class people. It's to have to investigate mines, the use of explosives because it's unsafe. It's to share the wealth. Yeah. No wonder Grupo México doesn't like him. You're going to take their money.
Well, you're
away.
Talking about Obrador.
Obrador. Yeah. And that's also what Napoleon stands for as well.
Yeah.
And so then you can. So what they did is they laid some trumped up charges of embezzlement of $55 million that they said that he absconded with, and it was later dropped because there was nothing.
Yeah.
And I used to make fun of him. I used to say, if you've got
$55
million,
how come I'm paying for dinner?
How come Ken Newman's paying for all the beer?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it was trumped up charges. And
you know, it's interesting about smear jobs. Once somebody gets smeared, it's you can't undo a smear. I mean, people will repeat that, even though, as you point out, no evidence was ever brought. And in fact, now, of course, he's being recognized for what he was and is a labor leader.
Yeah.
So they have a Senate, and he's going to be in that.
He's going to be in the Senate. He had 5,000 miners marching with him to his inauguration, which is impressive.
This is the inauguration of Obrador.
Because Obrador is not taken
over
until December.
I thought I was misunderstanding.
I'm sorry. I'm going back. Yeah, this is back to Napoleon.
Yeah.
So, anyways, Napoleon.
What inauguration? What is it we're describing?
To Napoleon's inauguration.
Okay.
Yeah. To be in the Senate. He is in the Senate.
Oh, okay.
Obrador is not leading
the miners came to the government tried to
throw him out as president five times. He was reelected five times.
Yeah.
He used to have meetings with his staff every day from the national office at first on the seventh floor because I work on the seventh floor.
Yeah.
And he would Skype meetings. And when he spoke at his Congress, he would stand up, even though he's not there, but it was like he was
there.
Well,
that's the appropriate thing.
He's standing up and he's speaking and he's looking out on the Skype to all the miners.
He can see them.
And he can see them and they can see him and he's standing up.
Well, that's appropriate.
I thought it was.
Yeah.
He's an interesting character, actually.
The former government thought he was so interesting. They didn't want him. They were going to put him in prison.
But what happened, you got to give credit to the International Union of Steelworkers and National Office, particularly Ken Newman, because they literally smuggled him out. Those 6 hours he had to leave, he went to Albuquerque, not far from your brother's place, actually.
Yeah.
And then Leo Girard arranged his entry into Canada. Wow. The National Office, Ken Newman, arranged that he become a citizen. So that was all done. He was in Toronto for a while, moved to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And by the way, when he was away for the 12 years, he was exiled for 12 years, nobody sat in his chair the whole 12 years in his office in Mexico. Nobody sat in his chair. He was still considered all those years, even though he was exiled. He was president of that local, and he still is. He can be a president and still be in the Senate, he's still president of the union.
So he can serve as president, and he will be in the Senate.
Yeah,
that's terrific. That is. By the way, I mean, we were just talking about what is ailing, the labor movement, how it needs maybe a little salt and pepper. See, that kind of thing, that's important symbolic part of the fight. So if they say, well, he's not your president, you say, that's his chair,
and
nobody's
going
to sit in it except him. You understand me?
Yeah.
This is making it into – so everybody remembers. We come in the room, see the empty chair there? That's for the chairman. I like that. It just shows you have a healthier environment. Seems to me that steelworkers ought to send Leo Girard or your national director – to Obrador's inauguration because he obviously is the one who did the right thing, right? I mean, somebody really began to pull on the levers and brakes and whatever to say, Obrador's coming. is going to be different.
Yeah.
And so they can call – I love this language. Call Napoleon, tell him we need him. Tell him the chair is open. The Mexico had a lot with, you know, French and Napoleon. And then, of course, who was the one they shot? The Emperor
Maximilian.
Maximilian,
yeah.
Who had been put there by the French. The involvement of Mexico with the French Revolution and the concept and all, it's imprinted on them. As George Bernard Shaw said, we were denied that opportunity. he said, it's unfortunately. You must have a pretty good impression then that we're pretty clearly saying the Obrador is a real deal.
It sounds like he's good.
You always come in and you say you have such hopes, right?
His party, what's it called, Morena Party. By the way, that's the other thing Napoleon did is he took his union out of the right wing parties and put them in an organization called the PRD, Democratic Renewal Party. It's sort of an NDP type party, and then the Morena Party was a sort of a new NDP, and that's the one that Obrador is leading. But it sounds like there's not much of a political difference. Obviously, if he chose Napoleon to be in the Senate as an ally, then there can't be a big difference between both parties. But I think they're in different parties.
It does appear that the old ruling party is breaking up. It's a Party of Revolutionary Institutions. It's called the PRI, right?
Yeah, PRI.
And in the past, they had breakoffs, including the son of their greatest modern president, Cardenas. And Cardenas is the one who nationalized the oil, all U.S. oil companies, basically. And it was almost war with Mexico over that. The U.S. has got very threatening. But Cardenas became a national hero. So his son was before Obrador, it looked like the son was going to be able to mount a challenge to the PRI. They outmaneuvered whatever. But people in Mexico kept coming back. And you know, this Obrador, of course, was the president of the place they call Mexico, Mexico City. And he really, I suppose he had the advantage over Cardenas Jr., I'm going to call him, in that he had served. People had seen him. He actually had the job. He did the job. And so ordinary people knew him, and they could associate activity, good, positive things for the city of Mexico by saying, he was our mayor. We know him. And so I suppose that gave him that kind of gravitas that you need if you're going to take on the PRI. When the election happened, I was afraid he would win the presidency, but the party would be, you know, the Congress would belong to others. But my understanding is the Congress is his Congress.
I think so. Yeah.
So now we have President Trump, and then we're going to have President Obrador, and we are in for a rodeo. The real deal. It's going to be quite a contest. I suppose everybody's just going to hold their breath until December when the things will start to go. Because, you know, the U.S. has a major campaign to remove Maduro. And I can tell it's a major campaign because the NDP's joined it. That's, you know, they think it's great. And the Green Party, they think it's wonderful. And the Liberals, it's gorgeous and beautiful and wonderful. And, of course, the Tories think it's wonderful. So, you know, Maduro has to go, I think, is the position. But Mr. Obrador is going to say, no. And, you know, not far away is Honduras, you know. And Honduras, they elected a guy in a cowboy hat who was not a bad guy. And Hillary Clinton had him overthrown, you remember? And they shot a bunch of people, as they have to do. And they got rid of the cowboy hat liberal. But the people are very unhappy, and they are making a comeback. So they will have a friend in Mr. Obrador. And as you know, too, the CIA has been very busy now deciding they're going to remove the government in Nicaragua. and all the appropriate people, every NGO you ever put any money into went down and denounced, what's his name, the president of
Ortega.
Daniel. Yeah. Is he Daniel? Okay. Yeah. Daniel Ortega, they said. And they really tried to, you know, one of those color revolutions or smell revolutions or whatever it is. And they said, you know, you can smell the fresh coming in. And then started shooting policemen and kidnapping trade unions. But it's been apparently Ortega has fought them off. But it tells you that they've gone back to the old ways of, you know, knocking people over. But at the same time, there seems to be more pushback coming. You were going to say something, Phil? No.
The only thing about Napoleon, I asked Ken about it because I'm worried about it. This is Mexico. Mm-hmm. And they assassinate people in Mexico if you're not – you know, because these guys, Grupo Mexico, they're billionaires, multi-billionaires. And they can pay off people to assassinate people. And I said, is this guy protected? I mean, he's back in Mexico, and he may be in the Senate, but that doesn't stop anybody from shooting him.
Well, the danger, of course, you put your finger on a problem, but you can tell this is a, all these guys are in that environment. You know, during the presidential, during the last election in Mexico, and I don't want to say a number, but it was a big number of people who were candidates who were shot. They seemed to understand this is what we do. You know, like until this question gets worked out over what type of leadership is going to be, we're going to experience that. But you can anticipate a man who was almost arrested, who was had to flee for his life, has asked himself that, and those people who arranged for him to have an empty chair in his place, they thought about it. So
He does have some – apparently he's got security that Obrador has given him, but he also has minors too. He's got his own union.
They all have to – this is – we're back in the time of what Norman Mailer calls the wet jobs. You know, Mailer wrote a book about CIA. No, Mailer should not have been a novelist. He should have just written political books, but he said they do wet jobs, which means knock them off. But again, well, we're in a new – none of us ever been here before, as somebody likes to say. This is a new situation. Maybe I should say – I want to say –
if you know, we have a guest in the, outside of the
– Wait, what?
We have a guest outside, Tony.
Yeah, but he's just an admirer. He'll be on a show in the future when we're on television. I have to just segue, if you don't mind. By the way, we thank Mike very much for being here. What a story you bring us! This it turns out I wanted to find out, you know, a few details about Napoleon. Turns out you know him, so we're going to demand you come back, and we like to follow. If he's the miners' leader, we're going to want to follow you. You following him, you know, because and you raise a point. Maybe I won't go to the segue. We'll just talk about this. people work in gold. Turned out they're poor, right?
Yeah.
People work in diamonds. They're poor. And the coltan is being extracted so that you can have a mobile phone in Eastern Congo. Is mined by people who have no money. Their lives are horrible. And anywhere where there's precious metals, your work includes the daily humiliation of a body exam. I mean, they don't play. So it's very important you remain poor and that you're knee-deep in muck, etc. But thank goodness there are people like Napoleon who organize people so that they can get a living wage.
I should also say, you know, I forgot an important story there because
– We could use one.
65 miners died in 2006 in a disaster, and there was a methane explosion. This is what – in fact, this was the event that led Grupo Mexico to go after him because he called – Grupo Mexico, he called it industrial genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And he went after the billionaires, and that's when they turned.
So that was when they said
that was the event that
as
that
no mas, as they
say. No mas.
Yeah, no, there's certain he broke the little sound barrier when he, because that means that some of them might get arrested, which it will be interesting to see if that's the way Obrador plays with people who you know, who run enterprises that cause the deaths of workers and whatnot. That's always one of the marks of an actual socialist government, which I believe Mr. Obrador says that's what he intends to have. It is going to be exciting.